الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على من بعث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're currently on the conquest of Mecca still, and we're going to be discussing the Islam of Abu Sufyan, both Abu Sufyans obviously, and we're going to detail in regards to that. But before we do, what was the last thing that we discussed in the previous week? Faisal, do you remember? Every time I ask a question, you smile and because. Does anyone remember? Yes? No, the exact last thing, like the last thing. The last thing that we talked about was the Islam of... Omar is at the beginning somewhere. Abu Sufyan. No. Not Abu Sufyan. It wasn't Hatim. It was Abbas. Radiallahu anhu. Yeah. And we discussed how that actually transpired. And, you know, the companions, radiallahu anhum, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, were 2 days into the journey. And they pass by a valley which is known as Juhfa. And they're going in one direction, and from the other direction is coming Abbas radiallahu anhu. Yeah. It's a very strange situation, because they're going to conquer Mecca, and Abbas, he's going to migrate to Medina. Right? He's the last muhajir, last person ever who will be making hijrah in the history of mankind. Amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah. So he is not the last of the converts that shall, appear in this journey to Mecca, and we're going to be discussing two or three more, inshallah, that happen along the way. So just in this one journey to Mecca, we find at least four converts to Islam. So let's read Hamza.
Abu Sufyan ibn Harb accepts Islam. The Messenger of Allah was commanding the army, and he ordered the campfires to be lit.
Why don't you just read a pardoning as well, since that has something to do with what we're talking about. The one before it.
A pardoning. On the way, the Messenger of Allah happened to meet his cousin, Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith ibn Abdul Muttalib. He ignored him because he had suffered insults and persecution from Abu Sufyan. The cousin had complained to Ali that he had been ignored. Ali said to him, "Go to the Messenger of Allah and say to him what the brother said to Yusuf. By Allah, Allah has preferred you to us, and we are indeed sinful. The Messenger of Allah never likes anyone to show more mercy than he." Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith did as Ali advised, and the Messenger of Allah replied, "Have no fear this day. Allah will forgive you. He is the most merciful of the merciful." Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith accepted Islam and was known for his piety. He did not raise his head ever again in front of the Messenger of Allah because he felt so ashamed of his past behavior. Abu Sufyan ibn Harb accepts Islam. The Messenger of Allah was commanding the army, and he ordered the campfires to be lit. Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, who was spying out the ground for the Quraysh, said, "I have never seen so many fires or such an army." Al-Abbas ibn al-Muttalib had already left Mecca with his wife and children as a Muslim muhajir and had joined the Muslim army. He recognized Abu Sufyan's voice and called to him, "See, the Messenger of Allah is here with his army. What a terrible morning the Quraysh will have." He made Abu Sufyan ride on the back of his mule, fearing that if a Muslim saw him, he would kill him. Al-Abbas took him to the Messenger of Allah, who said, "Woe to you, Abu Sufyan. Has not the time come for you to acknowledge that there is no God but Allah?" Abu Sufyan replied, "How kind and gentle you are. By Allah, I think that if there had been another God besides Allah, he would have helped me today. Woe to you, Abu Sufyan. Is it not time that you recognize that I am the Messenger of Allah?" Abu Sufyan replied, "May my father and mother be your ransom. How kind and generous you are. But by Allah, I still have some doubt as to that." Al-Abbas intervened, "Woe to you, Abu Sufyan. Become a Muslim and testify that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah before you lose your head." Then Abu Sufyan recited the articles of faith and became a Muslim.
Okay, Jazakallah khair. So, we've learned in the last lesson that we were together, Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, he becomes a Muslim, and he settles his family, and he proceeds with the Muslims towards Makkah. And very important conversions that we have just heard take place before the actual conquest of Makkah. And among those that actually converts to Islam, you know, the first amongst them, before Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, is Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith. This is another Abu Sufyan. Who is this Abu Sufyan? Anyone know? This is the first cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father, right? And another person comes with Abu Sufyan, and that is Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah ibn al-Mughira. This is another cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except he is the son of the father of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had a sister, and this man is the son of that sister. So cousins from both sides, basically. Father's side, the brother's side and the sister's side. And so, they both come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They realize that something is about to happen. They've heard news somehow that this army has left from Medina to all the way to Makkah, and something is about to take place. And this is the time where they're feeling some kind of remorse, some kind of regret for what they've been doing in the past. Because for those of you who are not aware, Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith, no, we're not talking about the other Abu Sufyan, okay? Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith, he was a staunch enemy of Islam, even though he was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was known for his poetry against Islam. You know, previously we've said that the one who had any kind of grudges or animosities or anything of that kind, he used to compose poetry, and that poetry would spread like wildfire. And so this is what he used to spend his time doing, writing poetry against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course the other person, Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah. Very good. What was so terrible about this person in Jahiliyyah? He was known to have challenged the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in public, saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "I will never believe in you until you climb up to the skies in front of me with a divine ladder, and you take down a book, and this is the Quran. You say to me, this is the Quran. I'm not going to believe you until you can do this." And he pointed out at the end of this, you know, strange statement, "Even if you do this, I'll still not believe in you." Yeah. Subhanallah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Subhanallah. And Abdullah's father, by the way, is, does anyone know? Abdullah, this person, Ibn Abi Umayyah, Ibn al-Mughira. Who is this father? Abi Umayyah, we know that. But what's so important about him? He is the father of a very important Sahabiya. He is the father of Salama, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is something we should be knowing. The Ummahat of the Muslimin, you know, they're important. We should know something about their history as well as the history of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abdullah is the brother of Salama radiallahu anha. He thinks, you know, maybe my sister can help me out here. So he goes to his sister, thinking she can grant him intercession. You know, the heart of a believer is filled with mercy. And this was the case with Salama radiallahu anha. So she heard her brother's story, you know, she felt pity for him. She let them enter her tent, her tent, and you know, they spoke with her and they asked her, you know, is there any way that Rasulullah will speak with us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he actually said to her, Abdullah, he actually said to her, فَهَلَّكَ مِنْ حَاجَةٍ إِلَيْهَا فَهَلَّكَ مِنْ حَاجَةٍ إِلَيْهِمَا. Is there any way, you know, Salama, she takes this statement of his and takes it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, فَهَلَّكَ مِنْ حَاجَةٍ إِلَيْهِمَا. Is there something you can do? Is there some way you can fix them up? Is there some way you can help them out? And the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after all he has been through, what's his response? La hajata li fihima. I don't want to have anything to do with them. I've got nothing to do with them. Right? I have no need for them, literally speaking. So this is, you know, a scary situation for them. You know, what's going to happen to us? You know, and by the way, this clashes with a perception we have of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for some of you, I'm sure. You know, we've heard so many stories of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing exceptional mercy. You know, when a Bedouin, he comes to the masjid, you know, he urinates and the Sahaba are up in arms trying to, you know, take him down. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, leave him, right? Let him be. So this, in a way, it clashes with this perception some of us have in regards to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Usually, sometimes the harsher aspects of the seerah are neglected for, you know, for the sake of storytelling. So nonetheless, this is something of an example for us. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is uswatun hasana. He is the best of examples. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, here he is trying to prove a point. You cannot establish political rule over people by always turning the other cheek. If you turn the other cheek all the time, no one's going to respect you. No one is going to respect your authority. You know, even the Christians that talk about turning the other cheek all the time, they can't even practice it. You know, how can they even justify all these wars that they're taking part in? They can't justify it whatsoever. Nonetheless, the general rule is forgiveness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to treat people in a way which was in accordance to their status. Right? So who were these people? They were people who terrorized the Muslimin, accused the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of lies, you know, made lies out of the religion, made a mockery out of the religion. These were among the worst of mushrikeen in the era of Jahiliyyah. Nonetheless, his harshness, the harshness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard, could also be seen as a type of test for these people. Because if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam appears to have rejected them, you know, what will they do? We need to see how they will behave in a situation where they're basically losing. What will they do? Will they then turn against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even more? Or will they do something else? Let's see what happens. Right? And the response, when he is told by Salama that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has literally no need for them, Abu Sufyan, he becomes a little bit agitated. Right? And he begins to raise his voice outside of the tent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he has a son with him, Ja'far radiallahu anhu. Ja'far, he becomes a great sahabi later on, you know, a great personality later on, but here he's just a boy, a baby almost. And Abu Sufyan, he raises Ja'far and he says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you don't speak with me, I'm going to go to the desert with this boy, and we're going to stay there and die in the desert. Yeah? He's being probably overdramatic, but, you know, probably we can sense that he was, you know, sincere to some extent. Because, you know, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't meet him, he would need to carry out his promise, right? So what happened? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he felt sorry for him. Because at the end of the day, this boy who he's raising is a relative of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the nephew of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the biographers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, فَرَقَّ لَهُمَا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he felt some compassion for them. And this is, you know, the example again for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though he may show some harshness at some times, he has a great deal of mercy for everyone. Right? And so Abu Sufyan, when he meets the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, guess what? He has a one-page poem ready. Right? So he was the one who previously wrote against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wrote poems against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now he's trying to ease the tension by writing a poem about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, praising him. So he says, you know, and these words, by the way, they still do exist to this time. And he was just like one or two verses from it. هَدَانِ هَادٍ غَيْرُ نَفْسِي وَدَلَّانِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَنْ تَرَدْتُ كُلَّ مُطَرَّدِي. This is the poem of Abu Sufyan رضي الله عنه, or just two lines from it. And it basically translates to, a guide other than myself guided me to Allah, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One I repelled as much as I could possibly could. Right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard this part, he smiled and he just hit him, he hit his cousin on the chest. You know, because, you know, I mean, this was someone the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grew up with. You know, they were cousins, you know, they played together, etc. and so forth in their childhood. So this is someone that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did have a soft spot for. And so when he reads this part, you know, one I repelled as much as I could. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Ey Allah, yes by Allah, you did do that. And he hits him on the chest like this. Sorry. It's like, just like, you know, some kind of camaraderie, you know, you we're okay now, that sort of thing. Right? And again, this teaches us the importance of a few things. Importance of words. Saying the correct words at the right time. Right? You know, addressing people's sense of compassion. Right? And by the fact, the very fact that this, you know, Sahabi, he's a Sahabi now, he says what he did in regards to himself and his son going to the desert, it indicated, you know, sincerity on his behalf. Yeah, he had passed the test. Subhanallah. So, specifically, you know, this companion, radiallahu an, Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith, he shows his sincerity in greater detail in other circumstances. Specifically in Hunayn. He battles extremely bravely in Hunayn. Showed many brave stances after this event. So it is clear that he was, by all means, by all accounts, sincere in his, in what he was doing. So the Muslims, after this event, they proceeded onwards. And they were only one day away from Makkah. One day away from Makkah. And they reached a location by the name of Mar al-Dhahran, which was 20 kilometers away from Makkah, almost. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when night falls, he gives permission to the companions radiallahu anhum to light their fires. Right? Now he does not care if someone sees the fires. Yeah? Because there are 10,000. 10,000 of them. And now, in Makkah, there is only left 1/6 of the population of Makkah. Right? Because what's happened to the people of Makkah? They've either immigrated, you know, they've died or embraced Islam. Yeah. So there's only 1/6 of the original population of Makkah left in Makkah. And now there is 10,000 coming towards Makkah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is basically saying, it doesn't matter. Even if they see you, it doesn't matter. Light your fires. Subhanallah. And at this point, Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, since he's a new Muslim, he just came from Makkah, he's feeling some kind of sympathy for the people of Makkah. So he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gains permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can we somehow avoid any kind of fighting, any kind of altercation with the people of Makkah? And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agrees. Yeah, this is the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not walk into a war for the sake of a war, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to avoid any bloodshed or anything of the like. So he sends Abbas radiallahu an, not just on a horse, and not just on any horse, but he sends him on his own personal mule, the mule of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he uses this to ride towards Makkah. And once he reaches there in the morning, or towards the morning, he says, oh, what an evil morning. Oh, what an evil morning it is for you, Quraysh, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam enters Makkah by force. Subhanallah. And whilst he's traveling in the night, towards morning, he overhears three people in the night talking. They're on their, you know, steeds, and they're talking amongst each other. And this is Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, the other Abu Sufyan, the other one, the famous one, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, and Hakim ibn Hizam, and Budail ibn Warqa, right? Since Abu Jahl is no longer alive, these are the ones who are basically in charge of Makkah, right? And Abu Sufyan, of course, being the most honored and most respected amongst them. So basically, why are they outside? They're on a scouting mission. They want to inspect to see if the people of Medina, you know, the Muslimin, are actually coming towards Makkah. They heard news, but they want to check it out. So every night, they've been coming out to check, to check, to check. I mean, this is their panic. They're checking every night. And they're checking this night as well. And they finally see 10,000 of the fires lit by the Muslims. And they simply cannot believe it. Even though they're seeing it with their own eyes, they can't believe it. Up until now, they still can't believe that people are becoming Muslims. Right? And they can't believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has amassed such a number. So Budail is amazed. He says that, it doesn't even occur to him that these are Muslims. He says maybe that these are the people of Khuza'ah. Yeah? Not Khuza'ah. 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 He says, you know, maybe these are people of Khuza'ah. And so Abu Sufyan radiallahu, he's not radiallahu anhu just yet, but Abu Sufyan, he says, the people of Khuza'ah neither have the courage nor do they have the numbers. So he doesn't think that it's Khuza'ah, but you know, subhanAllah, you know, they're doubting that the Muslims at this stage, they have these kinds of numbers. They just don't get it just yet. And so Abu Al-Abbas, recognizing who it is, who these people are, he calls out, Ya Abul Handala. Right? And the reply is, Abul Fadl. This is his kunya. Abul Fadl, they recognize him. And he says to them, woe to you, waylak, this is the army of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Know that if he conquers you, tomorrow you will be executed. And again, he's just saying this, since he's a new Muslim, he's just been a Muslim for a couple of days, 3-4 days, he's just saying this, he doesn't know that, right? So Abbas says to Abu Sufyan, you know, since, you know, they've been companions for a long time, you know, Abbas, of course, he embraced Islam extremely late, and he's got a lot of time to spend with Abu Sufyan. So he says to Abu Sufyan, come with me, and I will intercede for you, on behalf of the Prophet, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Sufyan agrees. So Abbas is riding what? The mule of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not actually mentioned in your book, but it actually is part of the seerah. He's riding the mule of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does he do? He puts Abu Sufyan on the back. So Abu Sufyan is riding behind him on the mule of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he rides towards the Muslim base, specifically towards the tent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as you can imagine, he stopped, you know, several times, you know, because the Muslims are curious, they're wondering what's going on. They're asking, who is this? And once they see who it is and what he's riding on, they leave him. Even though, you know, they see someone behind him. Why? Because it's Abbas, it's the you know, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on one occasion the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even gave a khutbah saying that the uncle, he is like the father. Right? And so, you know, they don't want to, you know, upset Abbas because of this close relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they see that he's riding the mule of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not have given his mule unless there was some kind of important task for him to do. It's basically symbolic of the trust of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he rides up. You know, people are looking, but they don't really do anything. Until finally, they reach Umar. Whenever we talk about Umar, for some reason, you and your son both smile. So, what does Umar say? Aba Sufyan, aduullah. Abu Sufyan, the enemy of Allah. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given you to me without any covenant or a treaty. So why is he saying this? Because in Islam, we say if there's a covenant with non-Muslims, they cannot be harmed whatsoever. Right? And so he's saying, look, now we're in a state of war. Alhamdulillah, you've been sent to me so that I can finish you off. Subhanallah. So Abbas, he says, Umar, he is under my protection. Cool it, Umar, he's under my protection. Well, he doesn't exactly say that. Right? And so this is, we've talked about a man in the past. Let me just refresh this concept. We've talked about it and we've said that if anyone from a particular tribe, or anyone from amongst the Muslims, he has one of the non-Muslims come to him, and that non-Muslim says, I want protection. And this Muslim, even if he is a child, he says, Ajirtuka, I've given you protection. Then it is incumbent on the rest of the Muslimin to just to protect this one person. Right? So, you know, this was what Abu Sufyan was originally looking for when he went to Makkah that time and he met his daughter, etc. and so forth. He didn't get... Medina. What did I say? Makkah. Excuse me. Medina. So this is what he was looking for, he never found it. Now he's found it, but it's a bit too late. Right? Al-Abbas has given him protection. So Umar accompanies him to the tent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is not letting it go. Umar is not letting it go. He wants to see this matter to the end, you know. People are sleeping, it's night. He wants to take care of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make sure, you know, everything is fine. First thing he says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after, you know, obviously assalamu alaikum, is Ya Rasulullah, hadha aduullah. Oh, you know, Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, this is the enemy of Allah, right? And this, you know, he said it for the second time. Abbas, he begins to become slightly annoyed, right? He says, you know, Umar, this man is under my protection, stop it. He basically says this to Umar. For by Allah, if he were from Banu Adi, you would never want to kill him. But because he is from Banu Manaf, you are brave enough to do this. He says this to Umar. So he's bringing up this tribalism, that sort of thing. You know, keep in mind, he's only been a Muslim for a couple of days. So this is why he's bringing it up. Look at the response of Umar radiallahu anhu. He says, careful, Abbas. Careful, Ya Abbas. Take it easy. Your acceptance of Islam was more beloved to me than my own father accepting Islam, if he would have. Subhanallah. This is the, you know, sincerity of Umar radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah. So the next morning, Abbas, you know, you can imagine, you know, they had maybe had a small talk with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but since it was really late, you know, perhaps, you know, everyone had a sleep. And the next morning, Abbas, he brings Abu Sufyan to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam once again in the morning. And this was probably a few hours later. He says to him, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to Abu Sufyan, Ala an, will you do it now? Up till now, ala an alak, you're doing it up till now? You're disbelieving in Allah up till now? Ala an alak, isn't it time? Response of Abu Sufyan, fidaka abi wa ummi ya Rasulullah. Subhanallah. May my parents be sacrificed for you, O Rasulullah. In the Arabic language, this is the most powerful form of expression or endearment you can have for a person, because it's very easy to sacrifice one's own self, but it's difficult to sacrifice another person, you know, especially your parents who are most beloved to you, right? He says to Rasulullah, ma awtafaka, ma akramaka, ma awsalaka, right? How great you are, how honorable you are, how good in building the relationships you are, right? He's praising Rasulullah. He basically says to him that if I were in your position, I would not have treated me as you have treated, I would not have treated you as you have treated me. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he could have done so much to him, but he's let him go for so many times. He keeps asking him, will you accept Islam? Yeah? He says the same thing again. Fidaka abi wa ummi ma altafaka, ma akramaka, ma awsalaka. Says the same thing over and over again. You know, he doesn't want to face the reality, I suppose. So he's buying time, thinking perhaps what to do. And he says to Rasulullah, had there been any other gods other than Allah, they would have helped me by now. Subhanallah. So now after all this time, now, alhamdulillah, he's going on to the side of the Muslims. You know, subhanallah, years ago, there's a light bulb which is basically clicking after 22 years. Right? This was the same man during Uhud, or after Uhud, who said, U'lu Hubal. You know? May Ubal be raised. May Ubal be sanctified. Hubal be sanctified. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he responded, obviously, Allahu Akbar. But now, the Qadr of Allah. Abu Sufyan has been placed in a situation of subjugation. Submission. Now he must submit. Right? Although he still had a choice, you know, again, keep in mind he's been given aman, protection. He does not even need to accept Islam, right? He's been given protection by the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, you know, become a Muslim. What does he say? مَا زَالَ فِي قَلْبِ شَيْءٍ. There is something still in my heart left. Yeah? He believes in La ilaha illallah. He explains to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I believe in La ilaha illallah, but I don't believe in Muhammad Rasulullah. Subhanallah. Abbas, right? He says, you know, he's getting a bit out of control. He's getting somewhat emotional now. He says to Abu Sufyan, accept Islam now or you'll be killed. Right? Again, we need to point out again, this is a new Muslim, right? He's just trying to get his, you know, friend from Jahiliyyah onto the side of Islam. He's just trying to do it anyway, right? Subhanallah, right? And this is, by the way, it's indicative of sometimes of how, you know, our younger brothers and sisters have this perception regarding dawah. You know, they'll just sit down with someone for 5 minutes, 10 minutes and convince them to become Muslim. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it took him 22, 23 years to get Abu Sufyan to become a Muslim. Right? Subhanallah. So, with reluctance, Abu Sufyan radiallahu an, he says the Shahada and becomes Muslim with reluctance. Right? Subhanallah. But let's look at a few things. Everything was facilitated for the conquest of Makkah to occur. You know, Abbas was passing one way, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passing one way, and even when Abbas went out, he found Abu Sufyan. You know, everything seemed to have, you know, set in place by itself. You know, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qadr. And one more amazing point here. Both Abbas and Abu Sufyan, they entered Islam somewhat reluctantly. You know, Abbas being the last of the Muhajireen, and Abu Sufyan embracing Islam just before the conquest of Makkah. And the amazing thing is, between the both of them, from their progeny would appear, or would be people who would lead the Ummah for 1,000 years. You know, the Abbasid dynasty, this was, you know, the descendants of Al-Abbas, radiallahu anhu, himself. You know, Muawiyah was the son of Abu Sufyan. Yeah? So it's amazing how they were reluctant to embrace Islam, both of them, but from their progeny, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that they will be, you know, the leaders of the Ummah for 1,000 years between the both of them. Subhanallah. Something amazing. Imagine it, you know, they're just both talking to each other without realizing that in the future their descendants will be ruling the Ummah. The same one that they've, you know, been reluctant to embrace. Subhanallah. So this is something we can end with here, inshallah, with these thoughts, inshallah. And we can always continue next week, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. We've got 2 weeks left.
Two weeks left.
Yeah, and then Ramadan. It's good to pray for the person who teaches you Sirah as well. In Ramadan.
Inshallah.
You know, there was a brother I used to know who used to work in the Middle East. His boss was a non-Muslim. His boss used to say, "Don't ever say inshallah. If you say inshallah, it means you won't do it." All right, jazakallahu khair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.